بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، وبعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So it brings me great pleasure and great joy to be able to have this evening with your brothers and your sisters in the beginning of this seminar that we hope to begin with our dear, respected, and noble guest, Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi. This is our 10th educational seminar, and it is entitled Benefiting from the Blessed Month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah to make it a sitting filled with blessing and benefits, and that it is something that will aid us upon seeking nearness to Allah and attaining His pleasure. Without further ado, I will pass the mic to our dear brother Abu Muhammad, who comes by way of Atlanta, Georgia, from Stone Mountain, Masjid al-Tawheed, who he is a resident with one of the imams there, aiding and assisting in the da'wah, actually all over the area, and we're very pleased to have him with us. And so if you take part in welcoming our dear brother Abu Muhammad, without further ado, we will begin. Jazakallah khair.
Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihi allahu falamudilla lah. Wa man yudlil falahadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد فإني أحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره على ما من به علينا من هذا اللقاء أو هذه اللقاءات الطيبة التي نلتقي فيها إخوانا لنا جمعتنا بهم آسرة العقيدة، جمعتنا بهم السنة، سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فصلى أن يجعل هذه اللقاءات نافعة ومباركة، وأن يرزقني وإياكم فيها السداد والتوفيق. Indeed, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for allowing us to gather once again and to visit, especially myself and other brothers here that came from other areas. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us once again to visit with our families here at the ICPB Center in Florida. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these gatherings, these classes we're going to hold in this seminar, are very beneficial for all of us. And may Allah grant us beneficial knowledge that produces righteous actions. وأشكر كذلك القائمين على المركز ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك في جهودهم في نشر التوحيد والسنة. صلى الله أن يبارك في جهودهم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفع بها. Likewise, I'd like to thank the brothers and the sisters as well for their efforts in organizing the likes of these seminars, these educational seminars, to educate the people about their religion based on knowledge. May Allah reward them good for what they do. What I choose to speak about, inshallah ta'ala, because alhamdulillah, even though only one name on the flyer, but we have with us our brother, Hafidahullah Sa'id Rana, who's going to be giving classes starting tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, Fajr. And he's going to cover some topics, inshallah ta'ala, about the virtues of Ramadan and the importance of the time, how we utilize our times in Ramadan, and especially the Qur'an, the relationship that the Muslim should have in general with the Qur'an, and especially in the month of Ramadan. So I leave that for him, jazakallahu khairan. And I choose to read, to study from a little booklet, actually, that I made it a booklet. And by the way, this booklet you see in front of me, I'm not sure if it's similar to them or something like them. It's supposed to be here to be hand out, given out, but the people who are making them, there was some delay. But they will be available shortly, inshallah ta'ala. As soon as they get here, they will be passed out, inshallah ta'ala, so you can follow. And it is ثمانون وأربعون سؤالا في السيام لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد العلامة أبي عبد الله محمد بن صالح العثيمين الفقيه الزاهد الأصولي رحمه الله وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. So the material we're going to read together, inshallah ta'ala, is from the site of our noble sheikh. You can find it for those who want, they have smartphones, you can find it by going to the website of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, binuthaymeen.com. Bin, binuthaymeen.com. And those who know Arabic, you go to Al-Maktab Al-Maqru'a, and then they're going to give you the books of the Sheikh, a lot of books, and you're going to see it on the right, 48, 48 سؤالاً في السيام, 48 questions in fasting, pertaining to fasting. وَمَاذَا يَجِبُ أَن نَفْعَلَهُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. فَبَدَأَ الشَّيْخ قَالْ رحمه الله شهر رمضان عظيم مبارك. He says the month of Ramadan is a great month, is a blessed month. أنزل الله فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah revealed the Quran in the month of this blessed month of Ramadan, and meaning that the beginning of the Quran was revealed in Ramadan, not the whole Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. As a guidance for the people, and criterions between the truth and falsehood. وَجَعَلَ صَوْمَهُ رُكْنًا مِنْ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting in the month of Ramadan a pillar from the pillars of Islam. وَقِيَامَهُ نَافِلَةً تَزْدَادُ بِهَا الْحَسَنَاتِ وَتَكُونُ سَبَبًا فِي النَّجَاةِ مِنَ النِّيرَانِ. As for standing in Taraweeh and Qiyam al-Layl, in Ramadan is a nafila, is not obligatory. Taraweeh and Qiyam al-Layl is not a fard. But rather Allah has made it as a mean for us to increase in good deeds, which they are to serve and help us to save ourselves from the fire. ففي الصحيحين عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه ومن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. حيث أخرجه البخاري في صحيحه. And he mentioned the hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever fasts Ramadan إيمانا واحتسابا, أي إيمانا بالله عز وجل وأن الله هو الذي فرده وقبولا لشريعة الله سبحانه وتعالى وإدعانا. However fast the month of Ramadan out of iman. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he explained, meaning person believes in Allah first, because if the kafir fast, this benefit doesn't happen to the kafir. Okay, so this has for a person who believes in Allah upon Tawheed, upon Islam, and believes in the legislation of Allah, and comply with it. يُذْعِن كَذَلِكَ. Comply with it. واحتسابا أي احتسابا للثواب الذي رتبه الله سبحانه وتعالى على هذا الصيام وذلك القيام وكذلك القيام. And also a person doesn't fast because it's a custom, because everybody is fasting. عادة. It just become a habit. لا. Seeking the reward, the great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those who fast. What is the result if someone fasted Ramadan like this? All of his previous sins will be forgiven. And this is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, whoever stood up in a prayer and remembrance of Allah in the night of Qadr, his previous sins will be forgiven. The same way, out of iman, belief, and seeking the reward. فهذا الذي قال الشيخ يعني من صام رمضان إيمانا أي إيمانا بالله عز وجل وإيمانا بشريعة الله وقبولا لها وإذعانا واحتسابا لثواب الله الذي رتبه على هذا الصيام وكذلك القيام فمن قام رمضان أو ليلة القدر متصفا بهذين الوصفين الإيمان والاحتساب غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه. الله أكبر. One month. It's not the entire life. 1 month a person fast. But be mindful, this is ibadah, is an act of worship. It's not just a custom because everybody is fasting. His family are fasting. No, he knows and she knows that this is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. This is a noble ibadah. ومن أنفع العبادات كما قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله الصيام من أنفع العبادات وأعظمها أثرا في تطهير النفوس وتزكيتها وتهذيب الأخلاق. الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه تعالى he mentioned that fasting is considered one of the most beneficial of all acts of worship for the person and he has a great impact on the person's soul as related to its purification and likewise as related to the akhlaq and the manners. And we know that, see how the people in Ramadan, they change, they don't act the same way. They become nicer in Ramadan, easy to talk to. They become more generous in Ramadan, the people. More religious, as we say, if we can use this term, people in Ramadan become more religious. So he who does this in 1 month, and also 1 night. 1 night that the Prophet ﷺ tells us it is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Look at the great reward of 1 night. If a person spend it upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon ta'ah, praying, reciting the Quran, doing a'mal al-birr, the acts of good, look at the great reward. All of his previous sins will be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. ثم ذكر الشيخ أشياء طول ذكرها. He was talking about, I'm going to skip certain things for those who may be following with me. Sheikh mentioned that Lara, great event that took place in the month of Ramadan, like Ghazwat Badr, the Battle of Badr, and the Sheikh, he mentioned some a little bit about it. Likewise, the conquest of Mecca, Fath Mecca, the Sheikh, he mentioned that as well. رحمه الله تعالى. And also, of course, the Quran, the first main event that characterized Ramadan is the Quran. فهو شهر القرآن. أي ابتدأ إنزاله في هذا الشهر وجعله مباركا. نعم. That the Ramadan, in Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ received the first of the ayats from the Quran. أي نعم. ثم قال الشيخ ما الذي ينبغي أن نفعله في شهر رمضان. What is incumbent upon us to do as Muslims in Ramadan? Since this is a great month, it's a great opportunity that Allah presents us with every month. And Alhamdulillah, as we speak now, we have less than 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. We don't have 2 weeks. We have less than 2 weeks for this, to welcome this noble guest, which is this blessed month of Ramadan. What is incumbent upon us to do as Muslims? الذي نفعله في هذا الشهر المبارك إما واجب وإما مندوب. That which is we do in Ramadan as Muslims, action that is obligatory upon us to do, and then an action that is a mandub, recommended. فالواجب هو الصيام والمندوب هو القيام. The action of worship that is obligatory upon us to do is fasting. And that action that is recommended for us, it's not obligatory, is the qiyam. Especially with the jama'ah in the masjid behind the imam, which is called Salat al-Tarawih. Mainly they pray it after Salat al-Isha behind the imam. Now, so that which is incumbent upon us to do is fasting or qiyam or standing in a prayer by Salat al-Tarawih mainly. This is mandub. This is recommended. والصيام كلنا يعرفه فهو الإمساك عن المفطرات من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس تعبدا لله. هذا قيد مهم. تعبدا ليس عادة. أي نعم. تعبدا لله سبحانه وتعالى. As for fasting, the Sheikh says, you should have known by now what fasting means, fasting, which is, he said, we all know it, but in the terminology of the religion, fasting, it means to abstain and stay away from all the things that break the fast. Mainly food, drink, and intercourse, and all the things that we're going to learn. This is the subject of our discussion anyway. Alhamdulillah, we're going to learn a part of that, the things that breaks the fast and the like. That's fasting. Well, what do you mean a person is fasting or she is fasting? When he or she, they stay away, when a person stay away from the things that usually breaks the fast, from food and drinks and the like, from the true fajr until the sunset, تعبد لله. This condition is very important, but as an act of worship for Allah. People don't fast to lose weight. In reality, some people gain weight in Ramadan. Because for some people, that's all they know is after Maghrib, they get down, as they say, right? They get down and eat until they cannot stand up for Tarawih. Yeah, you eat a little bit. Ramadan is not for certain people. Ramadan, oh, he's gonna eat all what he wants. No, Ramadan, you eat a little bit, but the ibadah. Because as you know, when a person eats a lot, he becomes lazy. Can't even move. You just want to sit back. More food makes a person lazy. But when you're hungry, subhanAllah, tanshat lil ibadah. As-sawm, you say it. But when a person is hungry, he has time for the ibadah and he has a zeal. That's why you see in Ramadan, people, they fast in, mashallah, masajid, this one reciting Quran, this one reading, this one doing. As soon as after Maghrib, barely some people stand up for Taraweeh. Those who eat a lot, they can't even, they just want to go to sleep. So that's what fasting is, to stay away from the things that break the fast from a specific time, which is Fajr, until sunset, until a specific time that is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the linguistic meaning في اللغة, هو الإمساك. هو الإمساك is to stay away from certain things. قالوا سام الفرس عن الماء, يعني أمسك الفرس عن شرب الماء. Okay, the horse fast from drinking. Meaning the horse refused to drink. You bring a bucket of water to the horse, he don't want to drink. And this is linguistically, but in the terminology of the religion, that's what he means, as we mentioned to you, to stay away from certain things. that breaks the fast from Fajr until Maghrib, until sunset. But you do this as an act of worship, not just a custom, a habit, because everybody doing it, you do it. No, this is an ibadah, an act of worship. Even if nobody is doing it when you are, you still do it. Still do it. ما دليله؟ قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة البقرة فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل. الله سبحانه وتعالى in the ayah of سورة البقرة 187 says continue to eat and drink, and this doesn't mean that a person does all he do eat and drinks at night, meaning that is permissible for you at Maghrib. It's permissible, it's time to eat and it's time to drink the beverages that are halal, okay, until the Fajr comes in. The white thread become distinct from the dark thread, meaning until the dawn, the light of dawn become distinct from the darkness of the night, meaning Fajr, the true Fajr, and continue your fast from that moment until the night, meaning until Maghrib, until the sun sets. قال الشيخ رحمه الله شيخ ابن عثيمين والغرض من الصيام ليس ترويض البدن على تحمل العطش وتحمل الجوع والمشقة. سبحان الله. يقول الشيخ the purpose behind fasting, the wisdom behind fasting, it is not to train yourself to see if you can really go and endure the thirst and the hunger and the difficulty. لكن هو ترويض النفس على ترك المحبوب لرضا المحبوب. الله أكبر. لكن هو ترويض النفس على ترك المحبوب من الأكل والشرب والجماع. لمن؟ لرضا المحبوب. من المحبوب؟ الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا تعريف جميل جدا. The Sheikh says, but actually fasting, people don't fast to see who's strong and who's who can endure the hardship and of thirst and hunger. La, actually fasting is to train yourself to stay away and to leave the things you love for to please the one whom you love. The things you love, food. You love your breakfast, man, your coffee. Some people, they gotta have that breakfast, that lunch, those juices, that cold water, especially in the summer. Intimacy, especially young man who just got married, maybe right before Ramadan. But now he's gonna leave all that for who? That he loves? For who? For the one he loves. Who's that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You leave the things you love, but to please the one you love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال لأن المحبوب المتروك هو الأكل والشرب والجماع هذه هي شهوات النفس وأما المحبوب المطلوب رضاه فهو الله عز وجل فلا بد أن نستحضر هذه النية أننا نترك هذه المفطرات طلبا لرضا الله عز وجل. So he says it's very important for us to have this correct intention. You gotta be thirsty and you gotta be hungry. That's not a choice. Some days are going to be longer for you, seems longer than others. But this is what we need to keep in mind. This good intention that we are staying away from the things we love, the food, the drinks, and all the things, to please Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال والحكمة من فرض الصيام والحكمة من فرض الصيام على هذه الأمة قد بين الله سبحانه وتعالى في قوله في سورة البقرة آية 183 يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. It says, as for the wisdom behind the obligation of fasting upon this Ummah, Allah سبحانه وتعالى has made it clear in سورة البقرة in the آية 183. O you who have believed, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was upon those who came before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you achieve the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, كَمَا ذَكَرْنَا لَكُمُ الْيَوْمِ فِي الْخُطْبَةِ, هذا من أهم فوائد الصيام, وأنه يساعد على تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى. As we mentioned to you today in the khutbah, that from the benefits, as Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan says, this is one of the main benefits and of fasting, that it assists us, the Muslims, to achieve the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقد فرض الله سبحانه وتعالى رمضان في السنة الثانية من الهجرة, فصام صلى الله عليه وسلم 9 رمضانات, 9 سنوات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fasting in the month of Ramadan obligatory in the second year of the Hijrah. So therefore, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen and others from the ulama, they mention that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fasted 9 Ramadans. 9. And also to know that fasting at the beginning, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, who at that time, before fasting the month of Ramadan became obligatory, they were given a choice whether to fast or feed a poor person. Doesn't matter. This was a choice. Has nothing to do if a person is sick or old or not. Fast, it's okay. Don't fast, it's okay, but just feed a poor person. And then alhamdulillah, that was in the beginning. It's not for us to try. Nobody say, hey, we follow the way of the Salaf al-Salih, right? We follow the way of the Sahaba. Well, let's do this too. No. We follow what Allah legislates for us. No. This is for them. That was for them, radiyallahu anhum. But as for us, the choice is gone. Okay, so we have to fast in the month of Ramadan. Of course, those who cannot fast, sick people or elderly or the like, with that later on, inshallah ta'ala. فالله يقول لعلكم تتقون. قال الشيخ ولعل هنا للتعليل ليس للترجي ولكنها للتعليل, أي لأجل أن تتقوا الله. وكيف نتقي الله؟ بترك الحرام والقيام بما أوجب الله سبحانه وتعالى امتثالا لأوامر الله وأوامر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما جاء في الشريعة وفقا لشريعة الله. So here this ayah is clear. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says that fasting was prescribed so that we learn taqwa and we act upon it. And how a person have taqwa is by staying away from the haram, from what is forbidden, and act upon that which is permissible, actually what Allah has made obligatory to the best of your ability, according to what Allah has legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to what Allah has legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah. Sunnah is we drink with the right hand, inshallah. When we mention that, it doesn't mean that we be looking at somebody who's drinking. Me, I see things. And if I see things, I have to say something, right? Because we Muslims, alhamdulillah, and we want good for one another. And we advise. But for the audience, just continue. Keep your eyes on what you're doing. If we say, oh, the sunnah is that you do this. Sunnah is you pray like this. We don't be looking for who's drinking and who's eating. La. Nah. Because we still have to correct. Some people, they just, they know the ruling. Some don't. Some they like left-handed by habit. That's all from when they were little. They write. If you ask them, they write with their left hand. They do almost everything with their. So they know that they're supposed to eat and drink with their right hand, but they forget. So it is upon us to do what? To remind them, but in a good way. We don't point anything at you over there or you sitting there. We just mentioned the hukum. Alhamdulillah, and we've seen it. The people, they pay attention and they correct themselves. Jazakumullah khair. Now, وفي الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Also the Shaykh mentioned a hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned and said, he who does not leave off and stay away from the statements of zor, falsehood, and acting upon it and ignorance, there is no need for Allah. Allah doesn't need that person to leave off his food and drink. Okay? And this is very important. أي أن الله لا يريد أن ندع الطعام والشراب إنما يريد منا أن ندع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل. نعم. He said, what it means here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want us to just stay away from food and drink. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to stay away from the haram. Especially falsehood, what you say with your tongue, because as Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, اللسان صغير الحجم لكن كثير الحركة. فما أصغر حجم اللسان لكن ما أعظم خطره على الإنسان. ما أصغر حجم اللسان لكن ما أعظم خطره على الإنسان. This organ, which is the tongue, is so small, but it's fast. Somebody can backbite somebody right here. Somebody in Florida can slander somebody in New York. In Europe. Slander someone who died hundreds of years ago. But can somebody strike someone in the head? He's right here in Florida, strike someone in New York? Huh? Can't. You see? That's why the danger of the mouth, the tongue. And that's why Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, لَيْسَ فِي الدُّنْيَا شَيْءٌ أَحْوَجُ إِلَى طُولِ سِجْنٍ مِنَ اللِّسَانِ. There's nothing in this dunya that needs the longest sentence in jail than the tongue, subhanAllah. Meaning to be restricted. Nothing that need more to be restricted than the tongue. Because people can cause a lot of problems. Many families are destroyed, friendships come to an end, fighting, chaos, problems, people are killed because of what they say. And later on, we regret, I shouldn't have said that, nor think about it. And that's another topic to itself. I know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us to, yes, you stay away from food and drinks and intercourse, but also stay away from saying anything that is haram and doing things that are haram. That's why the Salaf, they used to say, the ashalu as-siyam huwa tarku at-ta'ami wa-sharab. The easiest part of fasting in Ramadan is to stay away from food and drink. That's the easiest part. So you find a person, yes, they don't eat, no drink, they're hungry, but they still eat the flesh of others. يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ بِاغْتِيَابِهِمْ. They don't eat solid food, they don't drink no beverages, no liquids, but they still backbite, slander, curse, vain talk while they are fasting. لَا تَكُنْ في يوم صومك, the day when you're fasting, لا تكون فيه كما كنت في اليوم الذي لم تكن صائما. You do not be in the day when you're fasting the same person as when you're not. No, you be a different person because you're performing an act of worship, a great act of worship. You have to have the سمات الصلاح والتقوى. نعم. قال ولهذا يندب للصائم إذا سبه أحد وهو صائم أو قاتله فليقول إني صائم ولا يرد عليه. So see, this is the hikmah. Those who they know the hikmah behind fasting, it's not just food and drink, but you have to be mindful of your tongue and what you say and your actions and your behavior. That's why he said it is recommended, and it was legislated for the fasting person. When someone abuse him, when someone wrong him, or fight him, to say, I am fasting. And do not reply with the same. When somebody abuse you, call you a name, or fight you, you don't fight back. You don't call them back. But you just say to them, I am fasting. The Sheikh, he mentioned why. قال لأنه لو رد عليه لرد عليه الأول ثم رد عليه ثاني فيرد الأول. الله أكبر. فيكون الصيام كله سباب ومقاتلة كما يفعل الجهال خاصة في أسواق المسلمين بعد العصر من عصر المغرب. ترى الخصومات ما رأيتها إلا تراها في رمضان. هذا ضرب هذا وهذا. لماذا يقول لك هذا رمضان؟ والناس سبحان الله يقول له اتركه هذا مرمدن هذا صائم اتركه. يا كيف صائم؟ لا هذا صائم اتركه يا أخي اتركه صائم. ها؟ ها؟ لولا النساء شوف الله الله أكبر سبحان الله. The Sheikh he says that's why it was recommended for us not to actually when someone insult you, want to fight you while you're fasting, you say I'm fasting. Why? He says because if you, when a person call you with one word and you reply, then that person is going to call two more words. Then you're going to give three. And it's going to lead to fighting. So now all your fasting is insulting one another and fighting and arguing. As is, unfortunately, it is seen among some of the people. Especially if you go to the Muslim lands. Allah almost, at least the one I've been to. Yeah, subhanAllah. You want to see some real fights? Hey, on Ramadan, between Asr and Maghrib. That's it. How much? They don't talk to him. Why are you not talking to me? I don't talk to you. They fight. For no reason. And then they say, and then instead of certain people getting involved, say, أخي اتق الله, they say, أخي leave him. He's fasting. He's fasting. It's like fasting. He can do whatever he wants to do. As Safwat says, somebody he may abuse someone for 10 minutes. You this and this and this. And then he says, have I not been fasting, man? I will even show you who I am for real. Yeah, subhanAllah. That's fasting. La. And then, subhanAllah, that's true. Now some flashbacks came to my mind. People in the same neighborhood, when I grow up, they fight one another. This guy is selling fish. I'll fight the one who's selling, I don't know, tomatoes next to him. Just because of the little, he's like, why are you taking from my spot? Ain't no taking from nothing. And then they fight, sometimes get like physical. And then right after Ramadan, they meet, I don't, man, like nothing happened. After iftar. Not after Ramadan, after iftar. They eat. After iftar, they're different people. But when they fasting, they think that they have the, it's okay for them to fight and because he's fasting. It should be the other way around. Well, actually, it shouldn't even be the other way around. If we think like, it's okay, I didn't mean behind it that, look, why you fasting, be nice when you're not, be bad. La. What I meant behind it, that the person should be nice and kind. The Muslim should be kind, whether they fasting or not. But just fasting should remind us that we should be even exert more efforts to display the good manners of al-Islam. So, فَأَنْتَ لَمَّا تَقُلْ لِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ إِنِّي سَائِمٌ فَقَدْ أَعْلَمَ الَّذِي سَبَّهُ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ بِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ عَاجِزًا عَنْ مُقَابَلَتِهِ وَلَكِنَ الَّذِي مَنَعَهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الصَّوْمُ وحينئذ يكف الأول ويخجل ولا يستمر في السب والمقاتلة. سبحان الله. The hikmah. The Sheikh says now when a person abuse you or something, and you say to that person, I'm fasting. That's your reply. He says, this doesn't mean that you're weak or you're coward and you cannot say what he say. Yes, you can. You can even say more than that. Okay? But the sheikh, he says, you're telling him, look, I'm not saying this because I can't, but alhamdulillah, my fast is preventing me from like that, being like that, and acting in that low and base way. So the person, mashallah, you're talking to is a Muslim. That's all they need, a reminder. So he will be have khajal. He's going to feel bad at that moment and say, subhanallah, why? Yeah, he can, I know that brother. Not only is he going to say a word, but he can knock me out. But he said he's fasting. I'm fasting too. But why am I acting like this? And he may change, alhamdulillah, as a form of da'wah, that a person says, subhanAllah, look, he could, I know that brother, you know, but now he's handling his affairs. He's subduing himself. He's not acting upon his anger and the like. Nah. قال هذه هي الحكمة من إيجاب الصيام. وإذا كان كذلك فينبغي لنا في الصوم أن نحرص على فعل الطاعات من الذكر وقراءة القرآن والصلاة يعني المحافظة على الصلوات المفروضة وكذلك القيام بالمندوبات والنوافل والصدقة والإحسان إلى الخلق وبسط الوجه وشرح الصدر وحسن الخلق كل ما نستطيع أن نهذب أنفسنا به فإننا نعمله. So this is the hikmah of the fasting. It's not just don't eat and drink and do whatever you want to do. No. The Sheikh says, while we're fasting, we should be diligent to first perform the acts of worship. I am. That was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us. We should spend most of our times, if not all of them, upon remembrance of Allah. Constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr, the recitation of the Quran. It's amazing. The Salaf, subhanallah, the Salaf that we're supposed to follow them, you will see them. What you see in their hands, before Salat, after Salat, when they get in the house, when they gear up, when they, if someone in his business and waiting for the customer to come, what you see in their hands? Who knows? Huh? The Mus'haf. Quran. Right or wrong? Constantly. Al-Mus'haf qabla salat. Al-Mus'haf ba'da salat. Al-Mus'haf fit qabla al-Nawm. Al-Mus'haf ba'da al-Nawm. Lakin nahnu mada tara fi aydina? Abu al-Ahsa. But we, what do you see in our hands mostly at these times? What do you see? Hey. Akada. The smartphones. Before Salat, after Salat. At home, before he goes to sleep, as soon as he get up, some people, they still half sleep. Phone, breakfast. Don't even know what he's putting. If you take the plate of food, put another one of rocks, break his tooth. Why? Because his eye is on the phone, not on the food. Hakada. Subhanallah. Mus'haf, ya akhi. Put that down. Get the book of Allah in your hand. You know, read the Quran. Ayna. And these phones, subhanallah, they have they the source of a lot of problems. On the phone. His wife, Wa alaykum salam. He don't even look at her in the face. His children come in. They didn't see the father the whole day. Abi! Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Still on the phone. SubhanAllah. Salaamu alaykum, hayyakallah. Your wife coming to you. Hug. How are you? Look at her in the eye. Kayf haluk? Bikhair. Alhamdulillah. Missed you guys. The kids come and run. Pick those you can. Pick them up. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. How you doing today? You're okay, mashallah. Everything good? You've been good to your mother? You did your surah? And later on, you may want to go on the phone. Some brothers, akhi, the phone, the hall, he's in the house, the phone, on the table eating the phone. And especially the people, they don't even know what he's looking at. At least if the man come in the house, salam, salam, and went and get a book or the mushaf, at least his wife should know that his brother is doing what? He's reading. He's reading a book, Talatat Rasul, or bringing Sa'di, Tafsir, or a mushaf. Not like reading the phone, he's looking at the phone, he don't even know what he's looking at. And she's like, is that really... Sometimes some women, they don't even say that. They just based a decision on what they think. She's going to think, oh, that's... So whatever you're doing on that phone is more important to you than me. And that stuff start build day after day, day after day. Some women, they do ask, what are you looking for? What are you reading? And some brother, they answer, what? None of your business. No, she wants to know because he just got in the house. Is it so important? Just come this way. This woman, she was waiting 8 hours, 10 hours. She has plans to talk to her husband, to have a nice meal with him. She's going to tell him stuff that happened in the house. Even something that may be silly to you, the man, but to her, there was something. She see a roach or something, I don't know, a spider. And she was terrified. But now you're busy with the phone? Of course I opened this window just because many of us are guilty with that. And we don't pay attention to these things that it may be a factor in that leads to making the gap between the spouses even bigger. We should be concerned to make that gap actually vanish if we can. All right? So this is very important for us, ya akhwan, because when a mar'a saliha, a righteous woman, when she sees her husband reading the Quran, of course she's going to be happy. But she still, you as a man, you have to find the right time to read. Now you just get home, give me the mushaf. What is salam, how you doing? Now you got to spend some time with them, give them their right and the like. Now, so, salat also while fasting. So that's where we utilize our times. Preserving the obligatory prayers by performing them in the masjid for us men. With the jama'ah of the Muslimin, come early. Tahiyyat al-masjid, read the Quran. If there is sunnah qabliya, you pray. Sunnah ba'diya, you pray. Spend more time in the masjid in the house of Allah. Likewise, sadaqah, give charity. Be nice to the people. Even when you meet them with a cheerful face. When you speak to them, you speak to them in a good way, in a good manner, choose the best expressions. Likewise, you have to expand your breast and your chest for the people. Not everybody going to be nice to you. Some people, that's who they are. They're different. Okay? So you're not just going to smile to those who smile. Even those who frown, you smile. Alhamdulillah. Because this is what the believer do. Now, husnul khuluq, person should adorn himself with the good manners of al-Islam. فَإِذَا ظَلَّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْحَالِ طُولَ الشَّهْرِ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَتَأَثَّرُ وَلَنْ يَخْرُجَ الشَّهْرِ إِلَّا وَهُوَ قَدْ تَغَيَّرَ حَالُهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. He said, if a person do this while fasting, he's fasting, staying away from the things that he loves. She's staying away from the things she loves. Why? To please the one we love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we guard our tongue, we guard our eyes, our ears from the haram, our hands. We serious about the ibadah, we perform the salawat, we read more Quran, we're nice to the people, we're kind, where people call us names and say, I'm fasting, can't do nothing. That's not what Allah wants me to do, to fight you. He said, if we do this for 30 days, subhanAllah, that will have an impact on ourselves. And it will become easy for us to continue an extra day. If you do it for 30 days, why can't you do it on the first of Shawwal? If somebody do it for 30 days, why can't he or she do it for the next day after Ramadan? Naam ya akhwan. قَالْ وَلِهَذَا شُرِعَ فِي آخِرِ الشَّهْرِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَ الْإِنسَانِ زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ تَكْمِيلًا لِتَزْكِيَةِ النَّفْسِ لأن النفس تزكو بفعل الطاعات وترك المحرمات، وتزكو أيضا ببدل المال، ولهذا سمي بدل المال زكاة. Said for this reason, subhanAllah, it was legislated for us zakat al-fitr in the end of Ramadan. Zakat. Because it will complete the purification of the soul. Because a person, he's already been purifying himself by fasting, purifying himself by standing, qiyam, sadaqah, dhikr, recitation of the Quran, husnul khuluq. But now, but we're not perfect. We have deficiencies as a human. So this zakat al-fitr will complete that, that purification of the soul. He says, because the soul is purified by acts of obedience and staying away from the haram. Aynan. That was the introduction, by the way. Now we're going to get to the 48 questions and answers. That was the introduction by our noble Sheikh, Al-Allama Al-Faqih Al-Usuli, Abi Abdullah Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, ورفع قدره وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات امين. There was only the introduction, alhamdulillah, by our noble Sheikh, rahimahullah. And now we're going to start, inshallah ta'ala, the reading the questions. السؤال الاول. Now we have 48 questions, 48 سؤالا في الصيام. 48 answers, and there questions actually, and their answers by the noble Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. He's one of the great scholars of our time, rahimahullah. One of the mujaddideen, rahimahullah. Him along with Shaykh bin Baz and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahumullah. They were the great scholars in our era, in our time. The Shaykh, he died some 14 or 15 years ago, rahimahullah ta'ala wa ghafara lahu. السؤال الأول, the first question, ما هي المفطرات التي تفطر الصائم? What are the things that break the fast? A fasting person, if he does any of these things, his fast will be nullified, void and nullified. What are these things? It's very important for us to know, so that to stay away from them, and also to teach others, and also to pay attention. Other people may do it, somebody may not know. Naam. Al-jawab, قال المفطرات في القرآن ثلاثة: الأكل, الشرب, الجماع. He says the things, this called مفطرات, that breaks one's fast, in Qur'an. Look at the answers of Ahlul Sunnah. In Qur'an are three. يربطون الناس بكتاب ربهم وبسنة نبيهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. ليس الأعراف والتقاليد. The ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, they connect the people to their book, to the book of their Lord, the book of Allah, the Quran, to the Sunnah of their Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, our noble Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not, oh, in our customs, in our country we do it this way. لا. In the book of Allah, there are three things: food, drinks, and intercourse. ودليل ذلك قوله تعالى فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل. Now, meaning at the night when Maghrib comes, it becomes permissible for the husbands to have intimacy with their wives, and eat and drink, also food and drinks that are halal for us. Okay, the halal is a lawful for us until Fajr comes in. Until the dawn, the true Fajr. The ayah, it says, until the white thread become distinct from the dark thread, meaning the light here, the light of the Fajr, of the day of Fajr, become clear. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he mentioned how you know that. You know, at first you have a vertical light, and that does not touch the horizon. That's what the ulama, they call it al-fajr al-kadib. It looks like fajr, but it's not. Because it's going to go away. Then a horizontal light that comes and is bigger, and it continue to expand, and it touch the horizon as well. That's where the fajr, the true fajr, comes in. So for those people who are out in a desert or in an area where they can see, you can see the fajr. You know, you can see, but you need to know these signs, these three signs that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, has mentioned. You remember them, Hussein? Number one, Ahsant. It's horizontal, not vertical, the light. And it grows in intensity. You keep growing and growing and getting brighter and brighter. And it's, you don't see a gap between that light and the horizon. It's not like darkness, then some light, as opposed to the first one. Okay? That's the true fajr. Now. Jazakallah khair. قال الشيخ فبالنسبة للأكل والشرب اسمع تفصيل الآن تفصيل هذا العالم الأصولي الفقيه رحمه الله قال فبالنسبة للأكل والشرب سواء كان حلالا أم حراما الله أكبر يفطر he said as for food that breaks the fast if somebody eat doesn't matter that food حلال or حرام so somebody gonna like no حلال food yes it breaks the fast but it is حرام أخي you know it's nothing to do with fasting Well, you need to learn the deen. Said food, whether and drinks, whether it is halal or haram. سواء كان نافعا أو دارا أم دارا أو لا نافعا ولا دارا. Whether that food is a good food that benefits, or food that harms, or something you eat has no benefit, no harm. وسواء كان قليلا أم كثيرا. It doesn't matter whether a big quantity of it or a small quantity of it. قال وعلى هذا فشرب الدخان مفطر أو مفطر. He said, based on this now, smoking cigarettes while fasting break the fast. And smoking is haram, by the way. It's not makruh like certain people think. It's haram. فتاوى العلماء that smoking, any smoking, okay, it's haram. طيب. And he breaks the fast. Because some people, they do. They are afflicted by this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them and assist them to give them strength to give up. That's a bad addiction, smoking. But they ask, does smoking break the fast? Because it's not food. No. So the sheikh said, yes, he breaks the fast. وَلَوْ كَانَ دَارًا حَرَامًا Even if the thing is harmful and haram, it breaks the fast. قال حتى إن العلماء قالوا لو أن رجلا بلع خرزا لأفطر He says, the ulama, they mention, if a person swallow one of these, what do you call them, buttons. If he swallow it, that breaks the fast. وَهَذِهِ لَا تَنْفَعَ الْبَدَنْ ومع ذلك تعتبر من المفطرات. It's not like he's eating a couple of buttons and he's gonna feel good. It's gonna do him any good? Nothing. But still, because he ate them, he swallowed them, that breaks the fast. ولو أكل عجينا عجن بنجس لأفطر مع أنه دار. He said even if a person ate some bad like dough that was even mixed with najis, urine or something. Even is harmful for him, but still break the fast. I know. فهذا الأول والثاني الأكل والشرب. The Sheikh is going to mention a number of them, like eight of the things that break and nullify the fast. Number one is foods, all food. Number two, all types of drinks. Doesn't matter halal, haram, beneficial, not beneficial, little bit, a lot. Number three, al-jima', intercourse. وهو أغلظ أنواع المفطرات. He says this is the from all of the مفطرات, this is the worst of them. Okay, لوجوب الكفارة فيه. Because when a person eats or drink that break his fast, they make tawbah, repent to Allah, but they have to make up only one day, that day that they. But if a person break his fast by intercourse, and he is from those people who fasting is obligatory upon them, then not only do they have to make up that day and repent, but there is an expiation, a kafara. Well, kafara hiya mada? What is the kafara? What is the kafara in here? عِتْقُ رَقَبَةً فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَإِطْعَامُ سِتِّينَ مِسْكِينَ. As he came in a hadith, well-known hadith of the man who came to the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Halakt, wa fi riwayah ihtaraqt." Well-known hadith in Sahih Muslim, and other than that, the man who came to the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "I am destroyed. In a narration, I am burning." And the Prophet ﷺ says, "What happened?" He said, "He has intercourse with his wife in daytime, because it's permissible to do that at night." But he did it on a daytime while he's fasting. So there is an expiation for that. And this is only for jima'. And that is, the Prophet ﷺ said to that person, "Can you free a slave? A Muslim slave?" He says, "No." "Can you fast 2 months in a row?" "No." "Can you feed 60 miskeen?" "No." And this is the order now of the expiation. First, عِتْقُ رَقَبَةً, to free a slave. Then if it's not by choice, or la, that's what he should start with. If he cannot, not able, the ulama, they mention, whether there is no slaves in there at that time, no slaves, cannot find a slave, or they are available, he doesn't have one. If he has one, he's free him. He doesn't have one and doesn't have the ability to buy one. Hey, and this has nothing to do with the dawa'ish, ahsant. This is subhanAllah. MashaAllah, salam. Now we have to always, whatever we say, we have, like the dawa'ish, they take Muslims as slaves, wal'iyadu billah, and the like. MashaAllah, salam al-afiyah. What ISIS are doing is not from Islam. They do not apply the deen of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect the land and the ibad from their evil. الرابع إنزال المني بلذة. The fourth of the things that breaks the fast is the ejaculation of the sperm, the secretion of sperm, but with intention. Person wants to do that. He was aware. فإذا أخرجه الإنسان بلذة فسد صومه. If a person does that and anticipate into that, that breaks the fast. ولكن ليس فيه كفارة. That break the fast, that person should make up that day. No kafara like freeing a slave and this, because that's only for the jima'. لأن الكفارة تكون في الجماع خاصة. Of course, we're not going to get into details because some other questions are going to talk. If somebody say, "Oh, okay, what about someone who has a wet dream? All right, someone who's taking a nap after dhuhr, huh?" And then got up with a wet dream. That break his fast? No, it does not break his fast. It does not break his fast. Because it laysa an ikhtiyar. It's not, he didn't anticipate. Ana ma'ashra, ma'ashra. Jazakallah. Because it is not from the, he didn't do it willingly. This man, he went to sleep. His intention is to go get some sleep. And then that happened to him, so that person, all he has to do is to get up, alhamdulillah, and continue his fast, does not break his fast. The only thing that person should do is what? Ghusl, if he's able to make ghusl for the salat. Al-khamis, al-ibar, التي يستغنى بها عن الطعام والشراب, وهي المغذية. أما الإبر غير المغذية فلا تفسد الصيام, سواء أخذ الإنسان بالوريد أو بالعضلات, لأنها ليست أكلا ولا شربا ولا بمعنى الأكل والشرب. The fifth of the things that breaks the fast, those injections that the person, they take them, and as a substitute for food, like the IVs. Now the IV, the diabetic. Oh yeah, that's different. Those people, yes, now those who take those shots for insulin, that break their fast. But those ones, they have a ruling that they don't make up the fast. Okay, now insulin and anything that has nutrients in it, the IV and the like, that break the ones fast. Okay, if a person, for example, the doctor, if a person is very weak and they took him to the hospital, and they said, look, we're going to give you some IV right now. I'm fasting. Don't give me nothing. No, take it. But that's going to break that day. After Ramadan, inshallah, you have a whole year to make up that day, okay? He said, but this is very important to remember. This is only for those injections that they take the place of food and drink. They give nutrients to the body. They fortify the body, okay? And strengthen the body. The same way the food and drinks. The Sheikh says, as for the other injections that are like medicine, okay? When a person take them in their veins or in the muscles, do not break the fast. But that's just medicine. They don't fortify the body. They're not food. They don't take the role in the food and the like. All right? So the difference is clear, right? No. So if a person is sick, for example, or he went to the doctor and the doctor said, take this, okay? So, you know, we're going to give you a shot right now, right? Then ask the doctor if you're fasting, what shot is it? Is it medicine? Is it? Well, I said, no, I have some salt in it and you have some E. coli or whatever that's going to give you, it's going to boost you. It's like you're actually eating two bananas and one pear in one time. It's all in here. So you know that injection, that will break the fast. But if it's just a medicine, it does not break the fast. As-sadis al-qay'u amdan. The sixth from the things that break the fast, vomiting, but intentionally. Meaning forcing oneself to vomit. فَإِذَا تَقَيَّ الْإِنسَانُ عَمْدًا فَسَدَ صَوْمُهُ وَإِنْ غَلَبَهُ الْقَيْءُ فَلَيْسَ عَلِيهِ شَيْءٍ. So if a person anticipate the vomiting, that breaks his fast. Like someone, for example, feel like in his stomach, he got some heartburn, it's bothering him, and he went and induced that by putting his finger in his mouth or an object in his throat and vomit, that person now, he has to make up that day. But if a person was overpowered by it, nothing upon that person. He continues his fast and he doesn't have, or she doesn't have to make it. السابع خروج دم الحيض والنفاس وهذا خاص بالمرأة فإذا خرج من المرأة دم الحيض أو النفاس ولو قبل الغروب بلحظة فسد الصوم وإن خرج دم النفاس أو الحيض بعد الغروب بلحظة واحدة صح صومها. Now this is for us to pay attention and also for the women to pay attention to. The seven is the blood of menstruation and of postnatal bleeding. These that break the fast. If a woman is fasting, because the women, they have their cycles, different cycles, you know. Some women, they have their cycles start at the beginning of the month, some at the middle of the month, some at the end of the month. So, for example, Ramadan will come on the 17th of June, for example. As an example, we don't know because we go with the ru'ya, alhamdulillah. And I didn't want to say the 18th for a reason. Somebody know? I was going to say the 18th, but I'm like, no, 17th. Yeah. No, because some, I don't know, ICNA or Circle of America, whatever, they post that like 3-4 months ago, that Ramadan will start on the 18th this year. That's why I said 17th. Huh? Yeah, 1 year ago, see? And they're wrong in that. But we're just giving as an example. Sometimes this, if Ramadan starts on the 17th of this month, for example, some women, they may be already on their menses, so they don't fast. She may miss one day, another woman miss two, and one miss 7 days. the first 7 days of Ramadan, they don't fast because it's haram for the women to fast on their menses while they're on their cycle. Okay? Some women, Ramadan comes, but they are clear, alhamdulillah, they have no menses, so they fast. Some women fast a couple of days, then the mens come. Some they fast almost to the end, towards the end, then the mens come. So now, if a woman is fasting, mashallah, dhuhr come, asr, the blood comes in, that breaks her fast. That days. And Shaykh Al-Taymi mentioned, that's why he wants the women to pay attention to this, and we too, so we can relate to our mothers, our wives, or those who are married, our daughters, those who have daughters and the like. Shaykh Al-Taymi, he's not the only one. He says, even if the blood comes of menstruation or a postnatal bleeding, moments before Maghrib, they break that day. Let's say Maghrib is at 8:15 p.m. The woman, she get her menstruation at 8:14, and it's still not Maghrib. Now we're just giving the time because that's where the sun set, not according to some calendar. If the calendars out there and they agree with the sunset, alhamdulillah. It's not like a calendar says Maghrib is at 8:10. And then 8:10 is Maghrib, but the sun's still out there. We're going to say, we don't follow the calendar, we follow the sunset. The sun is still out there, we see it. And you tell me the calendar says 8:10? So if the woman, her menses, she's fasting, this woman, alhamdulillah, she took her suhoor, she's fasting the whole day. A minute or two before Maghrib, her cycle comes. Meaning the blood, she see the blood. The Shaykh, he says, that breaks that fast. But if a woman now, the Shaykh says, some women, they feel the cramps, you know, and the movements of the blood and the cramps, they shouldn't take that in consideration. But what should be taken in consideration is the blood. As long as they don't see no blood, even there is a lot of cramps, a lot of pain, they still fasting. The same way the Shaykh says, if that same woman, the blood comes a moment after Maghrib, that day will count for her as a day of fasting. So the women, they should pay attention to that. When they have the blood, they should look at the clock. Okay? And then they like, okay, 8:19. Maghrib come at 8:15. Alhamdulillah, she's good. That day is good for her, is counted. 8:19. Maghrib come at 8:30. Now, she don't say, oh, it's only a couple minutes. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. No, inna Allah ghafur rahim, but Allah command us to follow. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. نعم. الثامن إخراج الدم بالحجامة لقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم. The eighth one is the حجامة, when a person lose blood by cupping. حجامة, which is cupping. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, both the one who performed the hijama and the one who receives it, both of them break their fast if they are performed. But there is tafsil, there is details in this. How to understand this hadith? قال فإذا احتجم الرجل وظهر منه دم فسد صومه وفسد صوم من حجمه إذا كانت بالطريقة المعروفة في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهي أن الحاجم يمص قارورة الدم. أي نعم. أما إذا فيقول فيطير في فمه وفي أي نعم شيء. أما إذا حجم بواسطة الآلات المنفصلة عن الحاجم فإن المحجوم يفطر والحاجم لا يفطر. نعم. The Sheikh, he says, he explained. He says, when a person performed or received cupping, the hijama. For those who don't know, the hijama is a process. It's from the sunnah, alhamdulillah, that you go to someone who knows what he's doing. That's very important, not anybody. And they do it on the head, on the shoulders, on the knees, on different parts of the body. They will take a blade, a clean. What do you call clean? Clean, it's not like just washed. What is it? Huh? Sterilized, na'am, sterilized blade, they cut a little bit, and then they put a suction cup, and then it will suck the blood from that area, the bad blood. That's very healthy, it's good. So the Sheikh says, if somebody does that and some blood come out, that break their fast. Okay? The person who it was done to him, that break his fast. The ulama, he says, because a lot of blood comes out and make the body weak. So that person should eat now. Okay? That break the fast. That's why they said if a person doesn't need it, shouldn't do it while fasting. Wait until after. Okay? In the night time. But if somebody needs it, the doctor or whatever, say, you have to do this right now. Can't wait. Then that, if he does it, break the fast. Now, what about the one? Now, the one who's doing it, the one who was done to break his fast. What about the one who's doing it? The one who's carrying and the one who put in the suction cups. Why is that person, his fast is broken? Somebody know? He sees the blood. Because he see the blood. Anybody who see the blood break the fast? Or the dentist, man, he will never fast. If a person is a dentist, that's it. He never fast. Yeah. And those person who they work in the blood, what do you call them? Blood aid, whatever. What do you call them? Inflammables? Flammables, yeah. That person, he never gonna fast. Because he see blood all day. No, this is not the reason why. Who's helping him? No. Ahsant. It depends on the method that is used. Before, now it is technology, they do it. But before, they used to suck it. He would put something in there, or here. There is no suction. Now they have some technology, those cups, they come with technology, that sucks. But then, but the person used to do it himself. So Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah said, he got something, some blood is going to go to his throat. Yeah. Okay? But now he says, that if it's done in the ancient way, that's how the hadith is understood. But if it's done in a modern way, when they just have machines, the man, his mouth, nothing in it. Maybe he has. Then there's nothing that doesn't break the fast of the person who's performing it. It breaks the fast only of the one who's doing it, right? Now. وَلَعَلَّنَا نَقِفْ هُنَا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. We can stop here at this first session, first class. And we continue after Maghrib. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدَ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. مثل اي لا شك سيأتي. That's why we mentioned some of the. I'm not going to get in details, otherwise I'm going to be repeating myself. Now, of course, if somebody says, "What about tahalil? What is it called? Blood what? Samples or okay?" Blood work or test. Now that's different. That does not break the fast. But if someone give blood, donate blood for someone because they take a large amount, they don't take a little sample like this. If you go for a blood work, blood test, then they take a little bit. Does not break the fast. But if someone in a car accident, they say, come here, Yahya, what's your type? What's your blood type? You don't even know. You don't know? D plus? There ain't no such thing as D plus. It is A, B, and O. You don't know your blood? It's good to know your blood. So it's good to know so that you may be able to help. Because for you, for example, if you know your blood, you can give to others, but you cannot give to others. And you can receive only from certain people. Okay? Try to know next time you go for a blood. Tell them, listen, I want to know. I facilitate them. But if a person has to donate blood as a rescue for someone who needs it, then they take a liter? Almost a liter or something, right? We can ask Sharif, he knows these things. They take a good amount that make you weak, has the same role of hijama, the ulama, they mentioned now. Okay, inshallah, we continue after Maghrib.